7BR Part Heard. Hello, and welcome to 7BR's Part Heard, the podcast that traverses the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. I'm Rhys Palmer, Chambers Paralegal. We're joined today by 7BR Senior Clerks Paul Eales and Stephen Wright, who are here today as part of our pupillage series to discuss practice management and building a practice as a pupil and beyond. Paul began clerking in 1996, joined 7BR in 2002, and was appointed Senior Civil Clerk in 2009. He's been nominated by Legal 500 as Senior Clerk of the Year and has been described as providing a first-rate service. Steve began clerking in 2001 and joined 7BR as Senior Clerk in 2017. He's responsible for the crime and family teams and is described by the directories as understated. Paul, Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Rhys.
So today, we're taking a slight shift away from the barrister aspect of chambers and the profession and looking at what it's like from your guys' perspective as clerks. Now, before we begin, could you just perhaps explain what your role is and how you play a part in a barrister's career?
So, I mean, we could fill the whole podcast with the answer to that question. But in short, clerks are there to support, advise and guide barristers in their career and take them down a route that best fits their skill set and shape their practice or help them shape the practice.
So when we're talking about shaping practices, looking at it from the pupil perspective, Steve, how does that work? How do you meet with pupils to establish what they want to do and how you can help them at 7BR?
I think that at our chambers, pupils are very fortunate because they're able to do a number of areas of law in, you know, over a period of time, over their first, obviously, pupillage, 12 months of pupillage. And so it's really for them to sort of, you know, for Paul and I and the rest of the clerks to sort of guide them through that period and sort of saying to them, say, look, you've got an opportunity here to be able to do all these different areas of law. And I think it takes time. It takes, you know, some barristers come to the bar and they know what they want to do. They know that they want to do personal injury. They know that they want to do family, etc. But some barristers are still, you know, some pupils, sorry, are still unsure what they'd like to do. And I think at 7BR, they give that opportunity to be able to do these different areas of law. And I think that we give them, you know, over a 2, 3, 4 year period, because after their pupillage, hopefully they'll get tenancy and they have that time to hone their skills and decide what they actually like, what area of law they like to do. And I think that, you know, Paul and I and the rest of the clerking team are there to guide them through that.
And sticking with you, Steve, looking at family and crime, what sort of work would a pupil in their second six be able to do themselves?
So through their pupils, they have their pupil supervisors that will, you know, they'll sort of guide them through the each area of law. And we like to give them, over their 12 months, a civil supervisor, a criminal supervisor and a family supervisor. And so that should give them enough sort of knowledge to be able to sort of go to court. So in their second six, it will take crime first. They'll do a number of sort of smaller hearings, really. What in the Crown Court, we'll be having sort of, you know, potential sort of mentions and bail applications at the Crown Court. But then, you know, in the Magistrates Court, they'll have sort of trials to deal with, sort of half-day, full-day trials in the Magistrates Court. So sort of a wide range there. And in family, in truth, it sort of accelerates quite quickly in family, I feel, in our chambers, because we've got a core of solicitors that instruct us. So again, it's a lot of sort of application hearings, but, you know, in that experience has grown. And I think we've seen in the past with various pupils that have become now tenants of chambers that, you know, their family practice has grown quite quickly. And, you know, before you know it, you can be doing sort of 2, 3 day final hearings in a short space of time.
And Paul, what about on the civil side?
So on the civil side, it's very much about sort of helping them gain some momentum in their practice. So they'll start off with sort of interlocutory hearings, applications, small claims hearings, And you know, in terms of the employment stuff, they might do some preliminary hearings or perhaps one day or half day tribunals. And on the commercial side, they would do things like possession hearings or debt recovery type work. And there would be relatively small hearings to begin with a view to sort of building them up, perhaps on the PI side from a small claims, which would be effectively a bent metal claim, through to something where there is actually an injury, so perhaps fast track work, and really trying to expose them to as much of the civil side of chambers as possible, because as Steve mentioned earlier, it's, you know, we like to give them a flavour of all of chambers practice areas so that they can take a view on what they enjoy and actually work out what they're particularly good at. So they get quite a lot of exposure quite quickly in chambers.
And actually, I think that's probably a good word, is momentum, really, and how they grow over the first sort of 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that almost straight away there's a lot of court-based work, a lot of advocacy. They're on their feet and they're in court almost daily, it sounds like. Is there much of a paper practice available at the junior end?
Not a great deal of paperwork, largely because a lot of the sort of paperwork that we do in chambers, certainly on the civil side, is often on a CFA. There are some cases that we get where there is, for example, you know, advice on an infant approval, for example, that a pupil might do, but they'd obviously have to do that under supervision from their pupil supervisor. So there isn't a great deal at that level. That tends to come if they're made tenants, and hopefully they are. So therefore, that will begin quite quickly once they're tenants.
So you've both mentioned that there's a large variety of work that's available at the junior end. There's opportunities to touch and explore the varying practice areas that we have. When we look at juniors, pupils who haven't decided that they want to be a criminal specialist or a family specialist, how do you balance giving them enough work in all these different areas to allow them to sort of find what works for them and where they want to eventually specialise? How do you work with them in that aspect?
Well, I think that, it's just happened recently, actually, with one of our, it's actually a junior tenant, and they felt that they were spending too much time in just one area, particular area of law. And I think we got together, Paul and I got together, and we made the decision to sort of take a sort of a 6-month break from our diary from doing that area of law. So then they were able to have that opportunity to explore the other areas of law, to get a bit more experience and just get that feel for, you know, if they like something better than something else, etc. And I think that's that's one of the big positives about 7BR, is that you get that opportunity from the off to do a number of areas. And it's just managing, having that conversation with Paul, myself, or, you know, one of the other clerking team, and just, you know, we're not scary people, just sitting down and sort of, you know, working out what's best for them, really, because it's a lot easier just to work together than work against each other.
I think what I'd add to that is that we are proactive, that, you know, in ensuring that specifically the pupils do get a sort of fair crack of the whip in terms of each practice area. But by the same token, we're also mindful of, you know, as you mentioned, Reece, they are in court most days, and, you know, that can be quite daunting. It is hard work. It is a challenge, but we're very careful about not overloading or putting the pupils under too much pressure, too soon, really, because we don't want to overexpose them. So we are very proactive with checking that.
Well, conversely to the question that I just asked, those that know that they want to specialise in a particular area, once they are taken on as tenants, is that something that we offer to our juniors, our baby juniors, to have a pure focus in, say, employment or personal injury? Or do we encourage them to still keep a breadth in their practice whilst they're at the baby junior end?
Paul and I think, have got quite a lot of experience in sort of spotting excellent pupils, what areas of law they're interested in, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think coming from a common law set that we work at, it's very easy from the off to decide, you know, to work out what these pupils' interests are. And so I think that although we sort of push them in a way of sort of saying, look, you need to give everything a chance from the off, you know, you should do this, it's beneficial for your practice and your future, actually there does come a time where you have to sort of draw a line and say, right, just focus on X, Y, and Z, or X and Y, depending on which area of law that you want to do.
I think probably what I'd add to that is that in chambers, we've always had a kind of system where for the first few years, junior tenants still practice in all of the areas. And actually, the skills that are developed in sort of various courts, so for example, in the Crown Court, it often enhances the individual's advocacy skills, and those skills are transferable to other practice areas. And I think we've long believed that doing that does actually make better advocates. And if you look at the history of most of our members that have done that, most of them have gone on to, you know, bigger and better things. And largely that's due to the sort of grounding that they have in the early days of practice.
Paul, so you're saying that by sticking in all the different areas, you gain an array of skills that will help you develop your practice. And then Steve, you said that both you and Paul are very good at spotting excellent pupils, which then sort of begs the next question of what makes an excellent pupil? How are they drawing on all of these various skills? And what would prospective applicants need to be able to demonstrate to you guys to sort of be able to show that they are a top quality candidate?
I think what I would say there is that it's acknowledged that they're not the finished article, and that pupils are still learning in their second six when they're in court. I think probably what we look for is that kind of enthusiasm, that willingness to continue learning, and, you know, to be open to doing the different areas of work and taking on the challenges. At the end of the day, we're there to help them on that journey. And what we look for is that kind of potential. You know, it's acknowledged that they will make mistakes. Things will happen. They won't be the first. They won't be the last. But it's about that kind of enthusiasm and that willingness to grow.
Well, it's hunger, isn't it? That's the bottom line. I think that we have 200 or 300 applicants that come in to apply for pupillage every year. And in truth, you look at the CVs, and there's some extremely bright people out there. And it's about looking at that individual. And that's why we have these interviews, to look at that person in the face and, you know, look at those individuals and see, you know, what have they, something about them that sets them apart from others. Because, you know, the bottom line is on a CV, you're all going to have first or et cetera, et cetera. So in law, whatever degree you've got, and it's just setting them apart, that hunger.
And then looking at it from when you're providing work to instructing solicitors, is there anything that they highlight that they expect or they want from the pupils or the juniors that you're able to identify in our members?
What I would say is that it's kind of almost acknowledged by our clients that if somebody's got pupillage in our chambers, that they will be at a certain level. And what I mean by that is in terms of they will have gone through their first six, they would have been with sort of various supervisors, and that they will already be a certain quality. And I think what solicitors are looking for is someone that's that's going to be user-friendly, that they can work with. I often sort of say about matching up the right clients in terms of personality and experience with the barrister. And I think with pupils, it's because it's so early in their career, they haven't really got the experience. But, you know, for example, just today, you know, a solicitor was looking for someone to do an inquest. And the fact that one of our junior tenants, who was a pupil and was with one of our barristers that does a lot of inquest work and clinical negligence work, they were really happy with the fact that they would have seen firsthand with that supervisor attending inquests to see how it works. Now, this was a, you know, unfortunate family that could only really afford a sort of pupil or very junior barrister. And the fact that we have such a diverse practice, they do get to see various types of cases very early on. And that actually is really an easy sell to solicitors.
And just finally then, you've already provided so many snippets of advice, but if you were to give sort of a tagline or one word or a little summary that you could give to applicants and pupils, what would that be?
I think for pupils themselves, and when they're through their pupillage, is one bit of advice I would say is just to get to know as many members, staff as you can in that year. Because I think that come the end of the year, when the, you know, that they're sitting down to make the decision on tenancy for these pupils, I've known it before in the past that half the members don't know who they're talking about. And it just, it could swing the balance on pupils getting tenancy over not.
I would probably say use the support that's available. So, you know, lean on supervisors, members of chambers, and particularly the clerks. Never be afraid or nervous about approaching the clerking team. At the end of the day, they're there to help and they actually want to. At the end of the day, they want the pupils to be successful, because if they're successful, we are. So I would say, you know, use that support as much as possible.
Great. Well, Paul, Steve, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Cheers, Rhys. Thank you.
Thanks, Rhys.
Thank you to our listeners. If you enjoyed this week's episode from Paul and Steve and have enjoyed the pupillage series so far, join us next week where we'll be hearing from two junior tenants, Emily Mitchell and Kitty Geddes, on life at the junior end of the bar and managing a mixed practice. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.